Well, we're going to go back in our teaching here this morning on the laws that govern prayer. And there's things that have been rolling around my spirit all week about this and teaching. I have notes on the subject, but there's things that Lord just, you know, and emphasizing. There's some things we've taught on before. It's dealing in the areas of subject. We talked about the prayer of faith. We talked somewhat about the last week about the hindrances and things in prayer of faith. We're going to move over to today to looking at the prayer of agreement. We had taught just not long ago about these, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to go back to this and talk about this, a prayer of agreement. First, we want to look back over in the prayer of faith, because the foundation or the rules that govern the prayer of agreement are the rules that govern the prayer of faith. And you can understand if you go into, I mean, I've watched over the years, I've heard ministers say, I have sat in churches and listened to ministers criticize the faith message. I've listened to them talk about it. And then they go over and they tell people to pray. What's the purpose? Why go pray? If the faith message is wrong, and, you know, then what's the point of all of this? And so what I want to do is, the Lord has been speaking to me about, He wants us, and especially here in this church, us as believers, to have an effective prayer life, that we can believe and bring things to pass. And I want to talk about that, because one of the things that the Lord wants me to deal with is dealing in this area is this. I want to read to you something that Kenneth Hagin had in one of his books in dealing the areas of prayer. Kenneth Hagin wrote this. He said, during the healing revivals of the 1950s, he said the healing ministers would get together and talk about things they faced and challenges. Now, the 1950s, United States and much of the world, that revival took place at that time. Worldwide, there was a great healing revival. In fact, probably just in the area of healing was probably one of the greatest moves of God. The area of healing worldwide took place. Kenneth Hagin said that that's going to, before he left, he said there's going to be a new healing revival. It's going to come in these last days. It's going to be far greater than that. And but one of the things is this great healing revival. Now, I want you to listen. He said, these were the ministers who operated in these healing ministries. And now these guys would get together and says they concurred that they couldn't wait to get by the church people and get to the unbelievers and the believers who didn't know about the Spirit-filled life so they could minister to them. They said that not much would happen, and even at times the anointing would lift until they got to the other group of people. Then they would see many miracles. They agreed that they didn't know why this would happen. So Brother Hagin began to seek God for an answer. The Lord told him, I didn't put gifts of healings in the church to heal the church. I put them in the church to heal the world. The church should believe my word and be healed. God expects something out of the Christian. I've talked about this before. I want you to, I just want to say this concerning us here in this church. Very seldom do I ever have a gift of the Spirit or gift of healing go into operation ministering here in the church. There is no need for it. You have enough teaching on the areas of healing, you need to know how to believe for it yourself. You've had enough, God expects you to. The only time that I see that those things will go, those things go on over the years in the church, is when somebody maybe come along that doesn't know about the, you know, these things and that stuff. But people who have sat under it for any period of time, they're not going to see manifestations of gifts of the healing. They're not going to see that. They're probably mostly not going to see much of the working of miracles, those kind of things, and the gift of faith. I can say this personally in my life. I have seen the working of miracles has operated to me in ministering to individuals. I had a guy, as I've told you about, had a, really, it was a gift of working of miracles. Guy, you know, in a back, you know, the fact that you have a metal rod disappear, you know, that there's pretty much over. You know, I've had gifts of faith in operation. Now, the one guy, he was a Christian, but he knew nothing about the Spirit-filled life. Didn't know a thing about that. Was never been taught that. I've had the gift of faith operated. I've had it operate through me sometimes for unbelievers. I've had a thing. But I haven't, anybody that has ever been taught, you know, and knows the areas of the of faith, I've never had it go into operation for them. I've never had it happen. The gift of faith always went into operation dealing with other people. And let me explain to this, because we're going to teach on about the prayer of agreement, because the whole thing of it is, those gifts and manifestations of really when we deal with the area of the evangelist, you will see in the evangelist, especially if he's spirit-filled evangelist, he's going to have manifestations of either healing, sometimes working on miracles, gifts of faith will operate, but you will see those operate from the areas of sinners. If you have ever went to a Benny Hinn meeting, you very seldom see somebody who has been taught, if they get healed, they're going to get healed by their faith. They're not going to get healed by Benny Hinn's gifts of healings and stuff. That's not going to take place. Most people go for that. They think he has gifts of healings, and for Christians it very that have been taught about the spirit-filled life, who have, know about being spirit-filled, they most of them ain't going to get healed in that manner. You guys heard me tell about Oral Roberts proved that out back in the 19. He went over into the areas of the late 50s and into the 60s. Oral Roberts had a very pronounced healing ministry, and Oral Roberts went through the things, and what they did was you couldn't be ministered to at any of his meetings without being filled out a card. You filled out a card with your name, address, saying what was wrong with you and that stuff. And what they would do, they would use that then for the follow-up, because there'd be so many people would come, they would call card numbers out between a certain area, because it'd just be too many people come up at one time. But they wanted it to do follow-up with people. And one of the things they found out, that people who came out of spirit-filled churches, there was only something like, it was below 10%. It was under 10% of those people got healed in his meetings. And the reason why, because they came to those meetings trying to get healed through gifts of healing rather than using their faith. They didn't use their faith. They just thought God was going to come and minister to them like the heathen. And we need to understand this stuff. If God does it in that manner, there is no point to the prayer of agreement. There's no point to it. There's no point to have it or use it. The prayer of agreement's based on the fact that at least two people agree together, they can bring anything to pass. You don't need the working of miracles. We can believe for any miracle we want and bring it to pass. You don't need the working of miracles. The work of miracles is needed for people who ain't got a clue. It's made for those people that don't know. You and I can bring anything to pass. You can bring healing to pass. You don't need the gifts of healing and operation. I have never in my entire Christian walk, from the time I was a baby Christian, have ever been healed by the gifts of healing. God always demanded of me that I stand in my own faith. He's always made me. I always had to stand as much as I understood and knew. He required it of me. And he told me later on, he said, that's why you can teach the subject. You know how it works. He said, many ministers don't know how it works. And they're up there trying to teach on this stuff, and they ain't got a clue because they don't know how to make it work. You got to learn how to make it work. It's like going out here and you want to go and learn how to make money and business and stuff, and you go to some place and listen to a guy that's never had a business in his life in some stupid college teaching as a professor, never worked in the business field once in his life, and is going to tell you how to do business. No, I'd rather get the guy that has a good business and then go listen to what he has to say about it. Make more sense to listen to the guy that knew something. We have loads of college-educated ministers out here, and man, they've been educated in everything but God. And they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening because they don't have experience. It's a matter of having experience. It is one thing, I'll tell you, experience will trump just knowledge anytime. If you got knowledge and experience, you're way ahead of the game. You're way ahead of the game. It don't matter how much somebody's been taught in school or schooled about stuff. This is why so many Christians don't have experience with God. I could sit and talk to you for days and weeks on end about experiences I've had with God, experiences I've had in doing things and yielding over the Word. I have experience with God. And that's what you want to do. You want to experience God. If He's only God on the pages of a book, and you just can quote some scriptures, that ain't enough, folks. That's not going to get us by. The most wonderful thing, when I came into the kingdom, I'm going to tell you, there was men and women who had experience with God, taught us. People who walked with God could tell you how it worked, and they could tell you how it worked for them and how they put it to work and what they had done. I'd sit and listen to them, dear Lord, because I learned so many things about when they explained how they did it. Man, it's like, wow. And I went and would start practicing the things that they said they did, and I found out, man, it works. See, it's one thing for somebody to tell you off the page and talk about believing God. It's another thing, how do I put it into practice? How do I do it? It's doing it. And it's like you've heard me say so many times, it's the doer of the word that's blessed. It ain't the hearer. The guy that knows how it works, he doesn't, if he ain't doing it, there's things about him that he don't know how it works. He just has that there learning that, you know, things between his ears, some scriptures he's walking around and saying. You want to have more than that. We as the church, it astounds me. The more I read the Bible, the more I look at these things that we've been taught in the past, I sit and look at them and think, my God, what God has handed us is so, so phenomenal. It is amazing. I'd have never trusted me with this. If you had to think it out in your right mind, who would ever put in the hands of Ed Gibson that you could bring anything to pass? Dear Lord, would you do that? Think about this. God did that to humanity in creation. He didn't do that to the church. He did it for humanity in creation. Would you create a being like that? My words, you'd be so nervous to make something like that. I mean, people can't even stand it today. I'm building robots. Well, they'll make them and they'll think for themselves and they'll take over. Well, sure, there's all kind of fear of that going on right now. There's all kind of, scientists are afraid of it. Well, sure, these idiots out here, if they do it, sure, it takes over. It's going to do something dumb. Dear Lord, my God. I mean, dumb people making robots, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to turn off smart robot? Look, an immoral man, what's he going to put into the program? An immoral man going to put into the program of any machine? He's going to put in it what he is. Ain't going to turn out good. Hallelujah. Now you get somebody who's moral, somebody who knows some things, they'll turn it into something good. Hallelujah. But we talked about, I'm going to say this again, the prayer of faith. We discussed the fact of the prayer of faith. And I just want to go back to those things because of dealing with the prayer of agreement we're going to talk about. The prayer of faith, we talked about, you know, it's about the things that you desire. So we could say, when we talk about the prayer of agreement, it's about what the individual desires. So, it's dealing with what an individual, what that person desires. So it said you must pray. We talked about you got to pray and ask, or we talked about craving for it, or requiring or desiring for that need. In other words, you need to, we discussed this, and I think Randall Greer did it good when he talked about it. He said, if you can't live without the thing you ask, you probably will. You'll live without it. Faith is about, you know, going after something. It's about having that in you that I want this thing. You're not going to be a person bringing miracles to pass if you're willing to live without a miracle. If you want something to take place, you're going to have to go out. You can't do the norm. You cannot be the normal Christian. The normal Christian will not bring things to pass very much. You're going to have to be the abnormal. And in other words, you're going to have to, the things that you go after, you're going to have to really want to go after. Look, just face the fact. We live in a society today where people generally don't go after too much. If they figure that if they can't get it, somebody else will do it for them. That's why the church today is waiting for God to raise up these ministries to put them out there to bless them because they don't know how to get it. This is most of the Spirit-filled Christians. They're waiting for this revival to start up that will come and God will do for them what they don't do. You know what? I don't want that. Because the people who will do that will not be in the revival. They will not be participants. They will just follow the show. I watched them. I was back in the 19, there in the 80s, and I watched. Didn't we have people who came to the show, Mike? Didn't we have, that's what they would do. You know, you would go to, like, St. Kenneth Copeland's meetings. I'd tell you, half the crowd came for the show. The other half, they came because God's going to show up for them. I'd go to Kenneth Hagin's meetings. It was the same way. You get people who go for the show. They're there waiting for them to do something that really fulfills their life. They didn't go because they had something. They went to just get something. And it's a shame because most people were taught that. They'd say, well, did you come to receive, or did you come? No, man, I came. I'm a participant. Hallelujah. I'll make something happen there. Well, if you can join your faith with what's going on, you can make something happen there. It's not enough to sit and be. Most people go to church waiting to see what's going to happen. I've learned, man, from the time I was a baby Christian, never went to church to see what was going to happen. And I'm one of the happenings. I'm one that can bring something to pass. I'm coming because I got faith. I got faith. Hallelujah. I can make things happen. I can join my faith with somebody. Hallelujah. I can join my faith with a speaker and give him. And I'll tell you, if I can hook up, I can pull things out of that man. I can make him better than what he is. Well, but my faith, I can pull. And this is not saying anything. Anybody can do it if you go with using your faith rather than just, I'm going to see what they're going to do for me. That's our society today. Man, we didn't go like that, did we, Mike? My God, we were hungry to learn things and understand something. But we went because we had something. That's why many people don't go to meetings today, because they don't have anything. And if you ain't got nothing, you think you don't need anything. You think you can bypass stuff. You can't. Hallelujah. When you got something, you realize, my words, and you've heard me say this before, I've always looked at the fact of, you know, the more I have learned in my Christian walk, the more I realize I don't know. The more God reveals to me, the more I realize, my God, Ed needs to know more about this God. You know, I get a question answered for God, it usually opens the door to 10 new ones. Now I got 10 new questions. Since he told me that, now I need to know this. What about that? And it just opens the door. And it's that thing that just keeps burning, that same hunger. It's like, I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived yet. See, Apostle Paul was like that. He was a man who knew he hadn't arrived. That's why Paul stayed hot. Most people think they have arrived. They think they've gotten somewhere. No, man, you ain't ever arrived. It ain't ever going to arrive. Hallelujah. One day we'll get to heaven and you ain't going to quit learning there. You're going to find out when you get there how dumb you really are. We get there and you think, oh my God, was I an idiot or what? God is merciful. Hallelujah. He was kind to the one with the feeble mind. Hallelujah. He was good. Now, what we were told to do in the prayer of faith was to believe we receive the thing that we prayed for, we desire. That desire, we prayed it. When you leave that place of prayer, you're supposed to believe you have received that. You know, this week I got an email from our ministerial thing through Rhema, and they were talking about there was a certain minister within Rhema, and they said about, you know, that he had pancreatic cancer. And they said, we want you to, people to join together and pray for him, for God's healing to manifest in him. But you know what? I sat there and looked at it and thought, the Bible never told us that was what we were supposed to believe for. We're supposed to believe he receives his healing. You know, it's so simple. Now, he said, believing for is acting like he hadn't received it yet. We're going to have to try to, you know, get this thing to happen. And I think, here we are, the faith people. And what are they doing? They ain't listening to the guy that taught them faith. You know, the notes that I have in these four rules that I put down here concerning the prayer of faith, they're what Kenneth Hagin wrote probably 60 years ago. But people don't do it. They get over in their nice little religious things and doing their religious stuff, and they don't pay attention, and they don't pay attention to the word. What that man is supposed to do is believe he receives his healing. When he prays, we believe he receives that. What we're supposed to do is, they're asking us to agree with him that he receives it. Not that, well, we're just going to believe like God ain't given it to him yet. And we're trying to get God to give it. We're trying to get it here. And I read that thing and I thought, man, this is the leaders. These are the leaders sending this stuff. We're off base. We're off base, man. That's why I hardly ever listen to TV preachers ever at all anymore. They're so much off base. What happened was, and I'm not bragging on myself, but what's happened is they thought they arrived and they don't go back anymore to look to see if their foundation's right. They don't think they need to. I never leave the foundation. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He never left his foundation. He always stayed back on the foundation of things. That's what kept him in line. It is, I don't, I've had God chew me out because of leaving. He said, you know better than what you're doing. I stopped and I looked at him. Well, you're right. Here it is. I know what to do and I ain't doing it. And I'm going through the motions like I'm believing God. Well, I wasn't believing God at all. I was going through some nice religious motions. And I'll tell you what, 90% of preachers, if I'd have told them what I was doing, they'd have said I was right. And I was wrong the whole time. They were as dumb as me and didn't even know it. And God never talked to them about it. And I wonder why. He probably got fed up talking to them and they never listened. He told me about it. I repented quickly. I said, Lord, you're exactly right. I know better. I should have known better than that. But see, we got to come back to that. So when I believe I receive it, what's the most wonderful thing happens is now all we have to do is once we believe we receive it, now it's God's job to bring it to pass. It's not ours. You don't have to sit and confess it 497 times to get it to come to pass. That's not your job. Your job is to continue to believe you received it. That's your job. Your job is to keep your mouth saying that you got it and thanking God for it, that you received it. Not going and asking somebody else to pray for your healing like you didn't get it yet. Well, I'm getting them to agree with me. Agree with you what? You ain't got it yet? Is that what you're... If I've already believed I've received it, I'd say to somebody else, I want you to agree with me that I've received it. Would you do that for me? See, that's our agreement. My agreement has to be where it is, not you know, starting all over again. If you start all over again in prayer and ask a person to believe, to start to pray for you again, you just threw out everything you were believing. Your actions moved in a completely different direction. And so we need to understand these things, folks. We need to get a hold of this stuff. You and I have the ability in the Word of God. I mean, there's really not any kind of boundaries that we have. Now, in the prayer of God, I want you to go over to turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew, the 18th chapter. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read to you scriptures we have talked about before in dealing in the, we're going to talk about this prayer of agreement. Now, in Matthew, the 18th chapter, in verse 18, it says, assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus Christ himself saying this, and I am going to just go along and with the thing. If Jesus is the one who has said it, if anybody else has their opinion on it, I'm really not interested. Once Jesus has spoken, that's it. I mean, this is God talking and God saying this. Assuredly, Jesus said he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. These are exact words of God spoken to humanity. He said, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He laid down this principle. Now get it. He just laid down this phenomenal principle. Whatever you, he didn't say whatever God wants, did he? I had a person call me and ask me, pray for them, and then said, whatever God wants. And I said, well, what's the point of me praying? We'd first have to find out what God wants, wouldn't we? What's the point? Ain't no point in me praying, and I don't know what God wants. I mean, that is wasting my time. We're told here by Jesus Christ, it doesn't say your prayer life is going to be based upon what God wants. Now, as you get in the Word of God, you're going to find this. You're going to become more in line with what God does and how he operates. But you're going to find this out. You're going to find this out even from a standpoint. There's things concerning my life that I would pray about because the will of God for my life would be different than yours. You wouldn't pray or want to move in the same direction as me because we're in two different vocations. You know? So this is why there's things that you may have desire or that you need that I specifically wouldn't need, and I have desires or needs of things you would not. So we need to know, understand that, you know. I've watched over the years of ministers preach. Most people try to copy the minister. Most ministers preach like most people are all doing what they do. And you're supposed to be believing God like they do. Do you know, understand, you know, money, and even money comes to me differently than it does most people. God's going to do through business and through their work and how they do things. You know, God will bring money to me in a different way because of how I'm operating in. God doesn't want me. And I'll tell you what, loads of these ministers getting out here in businesses and stuff, they shouldn't be in them. It don't mean you can't make, you can use it and make money. You can make money at things. I'll tell you, you can use your gift that God did give gave you, and you can use that influence into the realm of the Spirit to bring you money through businesses that God has not called you to. Oh, yes. These people, well, you know, God won't allow you to misuse his gifts. Whoever told you that is the dumbest idiot you've ever met in your life. You can use the anointing in your life to do things, and that anointing will work to bring things to pass that are out of the will of God for your life. Israel used the will of God for themselves. They wanted a king. They used their own anointing, what was given to them as humans, to have what they wanted, and they brought it to pass. And God didn't stand in their way. And the reason God didn't stand in their way, he could not. He couldn't stand in their way. I want you to get a hold of this, because we're dealing with the areas of prayer. In over in the Genesis, the 11th chapter, I want you to read something here, and we have this wonderful thing that has been put in here for faith people. And only if you're a faith person will you understand what this is about. It's about the Tower of Babel. You guys taught the Tower of Babel as a kid, which they had no clue because they didn't understand faith. They weren't bad people as Christians. They were good people. They just weren't taught. They didn't know. So they just told the story like everybody else tells the story. Now, the Tower of Babel is this group of people. They get together. They turn around and build this city. Now, understand, everybody in the earth at that time is all speaking the same language. Everybody's talking the same. You know, this. We want to understand this because this whole thing is based on about faith. It's about on your voice, what you say. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, if you believe something in your heart, you say it with your mouth, it'll come to pass. He said, you will have whatever you say. Get that. That wasn't something just given to Christians. That principle has been working since the beginning of Genesis. God created the earth talking, the people in the earth. See, one of the ideas was, and I've heard it teach, and we need to be careful. It is, man didn't lose his authority when he sinned in the earth. He allowed the devil to operate in authority in this earth. Because man, we're going to find out, he still has authority. Man still has got authority in the earth. Man ain't walking around with no authority, can't do nothing. Because the Tower of Babel is proof of that. But what it happens, God shows up on the scene. Now, when they talk about building a tower, I don't know, I always got a kick out of these pictures they made years ago, this tower, and they show this big round tower going up to heaven. Most of that was sort of, basically was it used in those times. In fact, I believe the area where the Tower of Babel was, is they did an excavation in that area and believe they found what was the foundation of that thing. But what they were is early what they would call pyramids, but they weren't like a pyramid like the Egyptian pyramids finally turned out. The early Egyptian pyramids, what they'd do is they'd build like one platform and then they'd build another one on top of it, another, and they'd be like, you know, they might have a little bit leaning in walls, but they would go in flat, then they would go up again, and they weren't like building up the heavens. They weren't trying to get to heaven to God. I remember preachers preaching that stuff and saying that. This was about the high place. They were worshiping evil. They were worshiping, you know, other gods. And they were building these things, and it was a temple type thing. They would do worship off the top of these things, you know. You get higher up in there. They're getting closer to God, you know. But anyhow, that going on. But anyhow, listen to what happens. Now, look at verse 5. I'm going to pick up there. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. And the Lord said, now listen to this. And the Lord said, this is God talking. This is God speaking. Now, can we take it that this will be true? If God said it, can we accept that it is true? Okay. God said, he came down the city. He looked at the tower men built and said, the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language. They are one. What does he mean by they're one? They're all thinking the same stuff. They're believing the same things. And they're talking the same things. Man, this is faith message stuff. See, people don't understand faith. They don't understand. If you don't understand how faith works, you don't understand the Bible. The Bible's going to be pretty dark to you. The Bible will be real dark to you. God said, these people are one. One what? They're believing the same stuff. They're saying the same stuff. One, in language, they're talking this. All of them are talking the same thing. And this is what they began to do. Now, listen, this is God said. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Now, I want you to get this. How does God bring it to a halt? Does He try to change their believing? How does He stop them from doing in the earth, bringing evil things to pass? How does He stop them? Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. They can't agree. What is agreement based on? See, the prayer of agreement's based on saying the same words. Faith is based upon me speaking words. Whatever, I will have what I say. The prayer of agreement is in operation because you say the same words. See, you can't have a prayer of agreement when people haven't sat down and are in agreement on the words that are said. There is no agreement because if one person's saying something different than the other, if you don't turn around and do that and sit down with a person who asked you to agree for them in prayer, ask them, what are the words that you, what do you believe in? I want to hear out of your mouth. I want to know from your mouth what you're saying, the direction you're going in. Because if I'm talking different words, there's no agreement. That's why the prayer of agreement very seldom works. That's why when I got up front concerning Wanda, I specifically told you guys specifically what I wanted you to believe and say. Because if you can't agree with that, well then that's fine. Don't say it. But the ones that can agree, well, one thing I know, there is people in agreement. It worked! I didn't worry about that thing at all going on. I knew it had to work. It must work because we have an agreement. See, if you sit down, you know, write a contract out, isn't that contract? What would you say? Well, look, I'm going to write a contract, and I said, if you're going to lend me some money, I'll write the contract out. I want you to sign it, but you can't look at the contract. Well, you'd say that'd be terrible. Why? We've done that horrid things with God, acting like we were doing something spiritual, and never said it all with the other person. Nobody knows what we're agreeing on. And then called it prayer, called it all kinds of stuff, but it was none of it. It was none of the above. You see the power. This is why, you know, I mean, you think about what's been said here in the scripture. We have this thing that God said. God tells man. God speaks to man in the earth and says to man, look, assuredly I say to you. Now let me read you this. The contemporary English version said, I promise you that God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth, but He will not allow anything you don't. He goes, I'm assured you, I'm going to tell you, I'm assured you're assured of this. This is how it works. This is law. This is the law, how it works. It's the law. See, if we go over to the New Testament, what we need to do is we find, let me just give you some scriptures. I just put down here about, Paul talked about speaking. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verses 10 through 12, he talked to them about speaking the same things. He told them to speak the same things. You see, I remember years ago there was a church group. They've changed some now since, but they were based in all this home group. And this home group thing was all based in home groups. And you'd go to one home group would be completely different than another home group in their beliefs. You know, ones would believe in the faith message, and the next one over here would tell you that stuff ain't for God. They had this thing. Well, their whole church was based on the fact that there's no agreement in this church. Everybody believed anything under the sun. Anybody believed all kind of stuff. Over the years, I've had people, it would come to our church, would come and sit in our church, and I had people say, well, that stuff's okay for pastor, but that's not for everybody. Well, the reason it won't work for them because they're not in agreement. They want to go to a church, and they believe it's okay to sit in a church, and you don't agree with what's going on. Now, that's stupidity. That's ignorance gone to seed. The whole thing that makes a church powerful is its agreement in doctrine. There's nowhere, you know, we have this stupidity. Well, you know, people come. I've stood with people already. They say something. You show them the Bible says this. And I believe it's this way. But the Bible says they aren't in agreement. You know, if you ain't going to agree with the Bible, what's the point? Why go to church? Why, you know, it becomes just a religious thing. We're supposed to be speaking. Just think if we all spoke the same thing. What on earth we could do? Oh, my God. People speaking the same thing goes on to tell us that Jesus Christ said, I'll finish reading, jump back over to Matthew there in verse 19. He says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It will be. What have we agreed? Well, see, we did the thing here, you know, with Wanda. We agreed here in that service. I told you specifically. That's why. You know, now I know there's people who get upset over doing so. Over the years, I've had people get upset. What are you telling people what they ought to pray? Well, if you're going to agree with me, I'm going to tell you what to pray. And if you aren't, please don't pray for me. Keep your blab mouth shut. Because you're going to cause nothing but trouble in the spirit to help release demons because of your disobedience and your willfulness to go do whatever you want to do. We don't realize that. Christians don't realize that their prayer life can open the door to devils because I got to do it my way, them and Frank Sinatra. And they don't realize there's a bunch of them going to be the same place he is. Think of the power that you that we have just sitting here, this group. He said two people could do this. He didn't say you got to get as many people and the bigger the prayer chain, the more this will work. This is what the church world has done. If we can just get the crowd to pray, if we can just... He said, if two people will just get together on it. I don't think God had to make it so it's small groups because, man, to get a whole big group, I mean, to get 2,000 people in a church to agree, I'm going to tell you what, that in itself is probably the biggest miracle that has ever taken place on the face of the earth. That's bigger than Jesus going to the cross, folks. The chances of that happening. He said, two or three. In other words, two. He didn't say 200, 2,000. Anything that they ask, anything. Well, now, see, some people say, well, you just can't ask for anything. What are you talking about? Tower of Babel did, and it was working. Oh, it's only what God wants. That's why Christians got to learn to guard their mouth. What is Mike telling us up front this morning? People who don't guard their mouth and are bringing to pass, they're heathens bringing to pass what they say. When I heard Kenneth Hagin teaching along these lines, Kenneth Hagin said, if you don't like your life, it's your fault. You made it like it is. When I first heard him say that, I thought, oh, dear Lord, that ain't nice. Come on, give me a break. Then I really got looking at my life after I learned some stuff, and I said, you know, that man was right, but I still didn't like it. I want to blame somebody else. It's Mike's problem or something. Mike did it. I don't know. Something happened. Somebody else did it. And that's really what we'd like to do. We'd like to throw it off on somebody else. In Romans talks, you know, there's it, having the same mind. Think, listen to this. In Romans 12:16, Paul told them, he said, to be of the same mind toward one another. In Romans 15:5, he said, be like-minded toward one another. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, be of one mind. In Philippians, he told them, be like-minded. In Philippians, he wrote in 3:16, said, walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Peter went and turned around and wrote in 1 Peter 3:8, said, all of you be of one mind. We're all thinking the same way. See, that's what the Tower of Babel, the power of it was, when everybody was moving in the same direction, their right mind and the same speaking, the same saying. That's what makes a powerful spiritual church. A powerful spiritual church is not a church where we go, woo, you know, and we go there, we feel good, and we get goosebumps when we go to church. A spiritual church can bring anything to pass they want. We haven't had spiritual churches because we've left the foundation of Scripture to all kind of other stuff, to all kind of gimmicks and things and everything else in the world to do. And here the whole time, the simplicity of the Word of God is right here in front of us. My words, you and I have been sitting on the atomic bomb the whole time. And what we've been doing? Throwing firecrackers. We've been throwing firecrackers when we could have set off an explosion that would change the world. But the church isn't doing that. You know, people need a greater revelation. Nobody needs a greater revelation. Most of the people are looking for a greater revelation. It's because they have left the foundation. The foundation is so phenomenal. It's so incredible what God did, is giving the church this incredible ability that it's just two people. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. And I've talked about this before. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. We always use that as going to church. That has nothing to do with going to church. It has Jesus Christ being in the midst of your agreement. So let me say this to you. If you so-called praying for somebody told you to agree with them and you're not agreeing in the same thing, Jesus ain't in the midst of it. He can only be in the midst of it if you're believing and saying the same thing. Then he's in the midst. Now, you need to understand this. Somebody comes and asks you to pray for something. If you can't agree with them on it, be honest with them. I've told people I couldn't. I wouldn't agree with them. Sometimes things are people get out, and I know I ain't going to touch it with them. They can go do what they want. I ain't going there. And I'll tell people that. I've had people sometimes things weren't scriptural. Another thing, if you can't believe, one person's faith could be greater than your faith. If you can't agree with it, don't play along if you can't handle it, because that's a lie. And lies don't bring nothing to pass but devils moving. That's all it'll bring. You don't lie to people. You look at people, and if you can't, I can't believe in that direction. I can't do it. Ain't nothing wrong with telling a person that. If they don't like it, yeah, they ain't as spiritual as they said they were. They probably couldn't believe it either. I knew and had enough sense that I could stand in front of you folks, tell you what we needed to agree on and what to do. I knew you could do it. I would never have done that if I thought you couldn't have done that. Because if you couldn't have done it, I said, my words, I'm a worthless teacher. I ain't got nowhere. Dear God, these people ain't paid no attention to me at all. My words, we might as well pack our bags and leave. Hallelujah. But see, I knew better. I knew you could agree. I knew you could believe. You know how to do that. All we did is I did a scriptural thing by standing and explaining to you in detail the direction I'm going. I explained to you in detail, and you folks jumped on board, and it went along just fine. It worked just like we wanted it to work. Exactly. See, ain't that better than just going through this thing and pray for me? Pray for you what? You know, people come pray for me. I'm just having problems, and pray for me. Well, you know, what's your problem? Maybe you're supposed to have it. You're an idiot, and you won't do what's right. Maybe you're supposed to be. You know, there's people that are in problems who are supposed to stay in it. You're not supposed to get them out. Some of the worst thing you can ever do is help a person out of a problem sometimes. We've got so many people in the church world today, they don't even think they're supposed to grow up spiritually, ever do anything, because somebody's always there to bail them out. And there's too many Christians that love playing that God. They love being God and bailing people out all the time. Now, the people think I'm wonderful, you know. They think I'm just really the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I'm just wonderful. Because when they mess up, I run around and clean their messes up. And I fix and I help them. Oh, aren't I a good person? But some people, you ain't supposed to. You're supposed to let them work through. Nobody's ever going to learn anything if they don't ever have to work out through a problem. The worst thing you can do. You know, for people many times. We've used the things of trying to help people out so much that we've hurt people terribly because people haven't learned how to grow themselves. I've had the Lord dealing with me. See, I'd listen to the Lord. The Lord wouldn't let me, for the years, wouldn't let me even get anybody agree with me on something. He'd say, no, you pray and you believe yourself. He'd tell me to believe myself. Well, he had a lot more confidence in me than I did. But you know what? He was right. I had more in me about faith than I knew. And one of the things that is, you can really hurt a person if they have the faith to carry it out and are not using it, and you help them keep that squashed. One of the best things that God was doing for me, he knew I could do it. He knew I had it in me that I could do it. He would have never had me stand if I couldn't have stood. That would have been wrong to do. He'd never done that. But he knew I could do it. And he told me to stand. And he made me, you know, get into sometimes to me was uncomfortable. But my words, I did have it in me. Glory to God, it was in there the whole time and I could do it. But you know, if I'd never done that, if you just whirl over and run on somebody else's faith, just jump on with somebody else's faith, that can be sometimes an easy. It becomes a crutch after a while. And after a while, a person. I know many people never believe on anything themselves by themselves. They always got to get somebody else involved in it. They always got to get, because they have no confidence in their faith. You know, they have the idea that they call some ministry that'll work, you know, because they're big in faith. And you know what? You'll always stay little in faith doing that. You'll always stay little in faith doing that. There's things that you need to learn to stand alone. You know, I do things sometimes, even though learning to believe God. The Lord taught me there's things that I could have went and got money. Wanda and I had money. We could have went and bought it. I wouldn't buy it. I stood and believed God till that thing came in. because I want to use my faith. Just because you have money to do something don't mean you. Why don't you believe God? Let God bring it in. Then you get a shout on your voice. You can tell somebody else how it works. Other than that, you don't know how it works. I mean, you can have a good job and be sitting with money in your pocket, never really learn how to actually believe God and bring any money in. You never learn how to do it. Look, there's loads of sinners got more money than the Christians. And they ain't believing God for nothing, and they're living good. They're just doing things. You can get over there living good and never really use your faith. I always have things I'm using to have my faith out for. There's always things I'm believing God for. There's always things that are out there that I'm putting out ahead believing God. I didn't put money in the offering today because I'm putting it in to get money. My faith's already out, far out ahead about the money thing. I ain't putting in today because, man, I really need some money, so I got to get some money in the offering plate. Man, I tell you, I used to live that as a baby Christian, but we ain't there no more. That's baby Christian. So that's baby Christian to have to give in an offering today because, man, what have you been doing before that you ain't been given? If you had had any big faith, you'd have had money out ahead of time. And that's why you put that money out there ahead of time. Get that stuff out there. Hallelujah. We have stuff coming in down the road. I like that in the Bible, that the bread comes back on every wave. Not every comes back as every once in a while it'll come in. Maybe next year we'll go down to the beach to see if it does come in or not. That's most Christians. They're going down to see if they can get a little, you know, running down there. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. We'll see. Hallelujah. So you were doing this thing. This is why this is such a powerful, huge, powerful thing that a believer, the thing that you desire, that you believe you receive, you can have. And if you get somebody else to agree with you, you can bring anything to pass that you probably want. You could bring any miracle. See, this is why the Christian don't need the gift of the work and the miracles. The Christian can take it upon himself to have his miracle. You need to understand, you don't want to get over and have to operate where gifts of the Spirit work, because the Bible says this, they operate as the Spirit wills. They don't operate all the time. You can't have a miracle all the time by gifts of the Spirit. You can't have healing all the time by gifts of healing. It never works that way. Benny Hinn don't walk around 24 hours, 7 days a week with the working of miracles and gifts of healings on him. He gets in a meeting and it'll come on him. But 24 hours a day, he ain't got it. You have to hope you get it. And the Spirit operates it as he wills. So in a service, he does not will. That's why these Christians back there, he didn't will to do it for them. He didn't will to do it for him. Well, then what do? If you can't use your faith, you get nothing. But if you understand faith, you can get whatever you need when you need it. See, when I learned how faith worked, then I thought, why on earth would I want to do it any other way? Why would I want to, you know, run around trying to get somebody to minister to me all the time, trying to, every time something goes wrong, go find somebody else, when you can have it any time you want it? It's like, my God, this is the best thing you could ever have. It's like, you know, if I need some money when I really need it, I can go get it. But I'd rather walk around with it in my pocket right now. I'd rather have a chunk of change on me than have to just wait to when you need it, then it might come to you. We've been given the best. Jesus Christ gave the church the best. The church is the most powerful thing in the earth. The American government and the American military is a nothing to what the church has. But the church has relied on the government. The church has relied. It's relied on all these things, doing all this stuff. When the whole time it was, man, we had the power. Glory to God. We've been given the power. God has given to the church. It's absolutely phenomenal. You think about these things. I don't know about you. I've been meditating on these things this week, and I'm thinking, my God, we need to touch over into some things a lot deeper. See, many people say we need a new revelation. My God, loads of Christians can quote these scriptures. Loads of Spirit-filled people can quote these scriptures. Preachers stand in front of people and quote these scriptures and then beg for money. It's because they don't know them. They don't believe them. They'll say they believe it's true. To an extent in their heart, they've accepted that fact. But my God, when you realize what it says, Man, these things, I've been told these scriptures from the time I came into the kingdom, got born again back in 1980. I got born again, and these scriptures were told to us and told to us. And my words, back then, you know, we stupid people back then, we were young Christians. We just thought this stuff would work, and we did it, and it's amazing the things that happened that God did. And we were made fun of, and we were told, you know, that we were weird and flaky, and, you know, you're this, name it, claim it, you're all this stuff. Well, we didn't care. Today, I'm going to tell you what, the church world, and I mean, you go on TV, these ministers are scared of what people might say about them or what they may call them. I don't care what they call me. I'm a name it and claim it. Jesus told me to do it. I tell you what, I'm going to stick with Jesus than these people. I ain't sticking with them. I can't walk in agreement with them because they're following a different Jesus, and I know. The Jesus that I know, I tell you, he's the head of the church. Hallelujah. And the sad part about it, these people don't know who the church, they've lost who the church is. Many of these ministers used to know. These guys used to know. They used to walk in this stuff, and they don't walk in it anymore. They got away from it, thinking it went on to other revelations. Yes, the devil weakened the church and brought things in and watered it down. They found out how you could use the things psychologically to get put people to give you money, how to make people, you know, feel, you know, bad if they didn't give it to you, how they could psychologically get their hand into your pocket. My God, they've learned it. They have learned it wonderfully. I could get you books on psychology and give them to you, and when after you read them, you'd say, my God, that's what these ministers have been doing to us. This is their messages today. It's psychology to get you to do things, but it's not spiritual, and it doesn't change the heart of man. It doesn't lead you to the place where you get more spiritual and you grab a hold of things. You always end up more needy, needing them more. The Lord told me when I started Living Word Ministries, he told me to start a church. And this is what he told me. He said, I want you to teach people so they can know you, they can know me like you know me. That's what he told me to do. Well, dear, I look back to what I knew of him then. I think, dear Lord, you, man, he must have had some faith in me, because I look back at what I knew then. I think, my words, I was an idiot. But you know what? I had experience with God that loads of ministers who had much bigger ministries never had experiences where I had walked with God. But see, I could take it and teach people and take it to people. And see, what he wants out of you is not, he don't want any minister to be the big cheese. He wants us all to be the big cheese. He said, I want people, my people, to know me like you do. That's what he's interested in. Most ministers, they don't want you to know God better than them. They want you always aside. You really need, you're going to have to really have me. My God, you can go over me. Do it, man. I'll cheer you on. Lord, go after it. Hallelujah. God wants people to know him. You don't have to, we have to chase Benny Hinn around. Believers should be going to Benny Hinn's meetings, shouting and believing God for all those people to show up and don't know to get them healed. That's what we should be doing, not going there to get it. See, you go there to help. We're not spectators. We're gone there believing God. Hallelujah. The anointing of God works. That every sinner in the place, God's going to move on, touch every sinner in that place. They show up. Every Christian that goes there and don't know about the move of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit's going to overrun them while they're here. Hallelujah. Most Christians are going to those places to get a move of the Spirit of their own. Instead of having one, they're trying to get Benny Hinn to give them one. You know what? That's a tough demand to put on a person. That's a tough demand. People putting demands on ministers, they should never put a demand on ministers. They're putting demand on ministers for their own laziness and their own inabilities because they won't do it. I'm going to tell you, do it. I don't want some minister come along and say, you know, you're just like a guy hanging on to my leg and I'm trying to walk and got to drag you with me. I was a minister. I've been in life sometime. I've been like that. I used to be like that with my mama. She kicked me off. She had more sense than most preachers. She kicked me off. Told me I wasn't allowed to do that no more. Get up, boy. It's good preaching anyhow, folks. Hallelujah. But if we get a hold of this, if we get a hold of the revelation that Jesus Christ gave concerning this wonderful prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement, because you need to understand, the more you understand how these two work, the more you will be effective in any area of the Spirit, in any type of praying. As I told you before, You can pray in tongues and not by faith, and it won't produce a thing. Just sitting making words with your mouth don't produce something. Your heart got to be in it. You got to believe it. And you got to believe concerning the words that you're saying out of your mouth. If you don't believe it is anything, and well, wondering if it is. I know back years ago when I started off in the thing, I got over into that. And the Lord settled it with me. He dealt with me on it and settled it within myself about praying in other tongues. And when I pray in tongues now, it's the Holy Ghost speaking out the will and purpose of God through my mouth. That's what it is. I don't care how ridiculous it sounds. I'm not interested. If you don't bother telling me about it, because it's just going to go in one ear and fall out the other, because I won't even entertain none of it. Because I must do it by faith. Doing it by faith is not wondering if I'm doing something or not. Because I know that it works. Hallelujah. I know when I got to the place where I understood using my faith and praying in tongues, I began to see things happen. I became much more effective because of it, praying in tongues, because I'm using my faith. I'm using my faith in everything that we do. We use our faith in it. And that's why we want to continue to do that, is maintaining our faith in this. The Message Bible says this. I'll close in reading this from Matthew 18 and verse 18 to 20. The Message Bible says, take this most seriously, he said. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. Think about that. If you believe the words that you say, and when you're speaking, whether right or wrong, if you believe it in your heart, the wrong thing, and said it, and you believed it in your heart, you set an eternal thing in motion to come to pass. It's eternal. Words are eternal. Words were set by an eternal God. An eternal God turned around and confounded the languages of people to stop what was going on in the earth. To stop it. To stop the voices of people. Why? Because what they were doing wasn't something physical in the earth. See, we take talk as being physical. If it's tied to your heart, you're either enhancing your life or you're destroying your life. Believe me, man, I was good. Man, up to 30 years, man, I was destroying my life. I was so glad God hooked me up with Kenneth Hagin to learn how to say the right things. Because, man, I was tearing up my life. You got born again by words. Words that were believed and said. That's how you get born again. That's how you got into the kingdom. This is how it works. But out here, like we talked about these folks out here in the, that aren't in agreement. Like Mike said, you know, guys going around here, walking around just saying stuff. You know, that guy's got the point, that stuff believes in his heart. If he don't change, what's in his heart and change and get it on his mouth, he can sit around and say his mouth all he wants. You can go tell him, say, hey, you're saying the wrong thing. He's got that in his heart. He's a dummy. He can't remember his thing. He's done it to himself. And now he uses it as a joke, and it's not a funny thing. Because one day they'll say he has Alzheimer's, and he said, no, he don't. He has stupid mouth and dumb believing. That's what he has. The medical community can call things any old thing they want. They can call it what they like, but that don't make it so because they call it. Well, the Message Bible goes says, when two of you get together on anything at all on the earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. I like that, don't you? You make a prayer of it. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we did. Did God go into action for Wanda and I when we agreed, guys? Hallelujah. God went into action. That's what he did. Glory to God. See, it wasn't Ed's job to go into action. It was God. Once we believed, hallelujah, and we believed together, God went into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Hallelujah. God will be right in the middle of what you're agreeing. Can you get any better than that? Is there a better guarantee than that God's in the middle of what you're agreeing upon? See, let's learn to use the prayer of agreement properly, like the word said, follow the rules of it. I want to tell you what, you'll bring things to pass, it'll blow people's minds. It'll blow people's minds. This is one thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He always say, don't be so quick to pray. Think out about what you want to say. Think about it before. Don't just blab off some words. You think about it. The words that you're saying, do you really believe it? And if you do, are you saying the right thing or are you saying the wrong thing? You need to know that. I tell you what, you get over and saying the right stuff and you get moving in the right direction, I tell you what, you'll bring things to pass. You get somebody to agree with you on it, and I tell you what, there ain't anything you can't bring to pass. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, that's wonderful. That is the most marvelous thing to me. Hallelujah. Two people in the earth would agree on something. And God said, you know what? You guys do that, I'm in the middle of it. See, we got to follow the right rules. We don't just throw it out there like people have been doing about prayer. We haven't been following what the Scripture says and like Jesus has taught it. But when we see it the way that it is it complicated? No. So some people are going to have to sit down and talk out what they believe. See, that's what we like this nice, fast stuff. Just pray for me, blah, 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 blah. I've had people ask me to pray for them. I used to do this when I worked at Reese's. Some people get upset at me. I had this one girl used to always ask me to pray for her. She never wanted me to pray for her around anybody that know it. So one day she came up and asked me to pray for her. I grabbed her by the arm, pulled her right over, and right there in front of everybody, I just started praying for her. Oh, man, she got all upset. She went and told the boss that I embarrassed her and that stuff. The boss called me in. I said, the boss said, she asked me to pray for her. I said, she does this junk all the time, and she asked me, and I prayed for her. And I said, I'll do it again. You tell her. I said, don't come and chew on me. I said, you guys run around and tell your dirty jokes and doing all your stuff around here, gambling and stuff, which is against the law. And I said, and all this stuff, you're running these pools and everything and the stuff you do, which is illegal. And I said, do you want to go out the front office and we'll discuss this? Well, he didn't want to go to the front office to discuss that. So they stayed away from me on that. But I settled with her. You know, this would be people pray for me. I knew she didn't want, pray for me. I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm going to, you get spiritual and do something. Well, it wasn't going to work for me doing that. You know, that's why some sinners you can't help, because they ain't into it. So many people are not into what they say they want. They're going to be very willing to live without it. And you can pray and pray and pray night and day and don't come to pass for it. But I found out over the years. There's sinners who turn around. I've met already sinners who really wanted something to change, and they were in it. They wanted to know what to do, and I've joined together with them and had things happen. You can get stuff. I've had sinners I could get more happen than I could for a Christian. Because Christians say one stuff, but their heart's not in it. It's not something they're really going after. You get a person going after something, and it's amazing what you can do. God can always get more done for an individual who's really into it than one who's just going along for the ride. You can get stuff done. There's sinners out here, I'm going to tell you, they want help. They don't care what. Good boy, what do I need to do? And it's amazing what you can do, joining together with them. And those are good, wonderful experiences because that individual gets to see how God works. Hallelujah. And God will allow you to bring it to pass in their life because you know how to do it. See, learn these things. Learn how to be the person who knows how to pray the prayer of faith, the one who knows how to pray the prayer of agreement. We can do this, folks. Hallelujah. You people know how to do it, but you're living among a community of people in this world who don't have a clue about what's going on. The average church person doesn't know how it works. It's just, we pray. Every time I've heard ministers and Christians say, we just need to pray. They don't even say about what. They just used to throw the turn out. Well, we did something spiritual because we used the word prayer. So, wow, that sure fixes everything. Where are we headed on? You check like with a ministry. Say like with Billy Brim. Now, you go over and Billy Brim, and she's going to pray about something. She wants you to pray. She'll tell exactly what you're doing and the direction they're going and what they're praying about. Wow, well, she's moving in a direction. These people say, well, just pray. Well, what do you mean, just pray? That ain't the way it works. There's no agreement. 50 people and are all praying in different directions, going all over the place. What good does that do? You know, I'd rather accomplish one thing than take a shotgun and try to get it all out there, see if you can hit anything. Let's go after and get something. Let's grab something. Let's go after. You know, you're never going to fix 10 problems at once. But you know, one at a time you can fix them. One at a time you can get a hold of them and fix them. And Christians don't do that. They got their prayer life trying to fix everything and they fix nothing. Get it where you fix. You get a hold of something. I learned to do that. I would learn to get a hold of things. When the Lord told me that healing was the greatest problem in the church world, for the church, for the Christians, he said, outside of being born again and filled with the Spirit, he said, the number one thing I want is my church to be well. He said, because the devil dominates and rules the church through sickness and disease. And he's exactly right. He said, my people are sick, so they can't do what I want them to do. And then the devil, making them sick, takes their money from them. And then they can't do them money-wise. They can't do what I want them to do. That's what he told me back when I was a young Christian. And I'll tell you what, I just understood why Brother Hagin and the teaching of faith and healing was such a big deal. Because that's the way, it's a big deal with God. The big deal with God is not you just getting money and trying to get a hold of money. If you ain't well, you're out of the will of God. God's will for you is to be well. That should be number one on your list. That should be number one on your list, not something else. My health is number one on my list. I can help a lot more people if I know how to deal with it myself than not knowing how to deal, just throwing things out there. God wants you well. Brother Hagin, I always emphasize that. Get healed. Get, you know, whatever. If you don't know how to get divine healing, learn how to believe God, go to the doctor and get well. But get well. Quit playing these games. We want to have a healing revival. And the only reason we want a healing revival is because we can't get well. I don't need a healing revival to get well because I can get well. Hallelujah. That's what we want. I want to get well. I know how to grab a hold of it. That's what we want to do. Glory to God. And then we can have a healing revival and get all them people healed that don't know nothing about this stuff. And they'll come to God and they'll all get well and learn how to get well and stay well. Glory to God. That's a revival. Hallelujah. A revival is not just a crowd. Hallelujah. A revival, man, takes place. God moves in. People's hearts change. And people start following God. They get a hold of God. They chase after God, not chasing after a minister. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you got me there preaching, got me all wound up. My God. You did it to me. But it does, I tell you, it breaks my heart. When we see that, if you realize the desperation that God has for you to be well, God's working towards you 100% for you to be well. You need to become convinced of that. God's more interested in Ed Gibson's healing than Ed Gibson is. And I really take it as a big deal. But God did more than Ed Gibson could ever done for his health. God did through Jesus Christ. God proved how much he was interested in Ed's health, far beyond what Ed could ever have done about it. And you need to become convinced of that stuff. You don't ever listen and take to ear and take it in that anybody says God has them sick for a reason. You don't ever listen to those things. If they get in you, if that stuff ever, those thoughts stay in you and you get them in your heart, you're going to have a hard time. Get yourself over. God wants me well. This is his agenda for my life, is to me to be healed. That's his agenda. That's not something I just decided, boy, I'd like to really feel good. He decided it ought to feel good 2,000 years ago. In fact, it was long before that, because it says God sent Christ before the foundation of the world. Before this world was created, God wanted Ed well. Before he ever sent Jesus, he wanted Ed well. He wanted you well. So you got to tack your name in there in the Bible. If you can't find you in the Bible, I feel sorry for you. He did all this for me, folks. What about you? He did all this for Ed. I don't know what he did for you. You'll have to pick that out. I can't pick it out for you. You're going to have to decide what you'll believe and what you'll take and say belongs to you. But he, I tell you what, healing's number one in my... This is one thing. If anything that I would rather have is health than any kind of money, any other kind of object, cars, anything else under the sun. I want health. There's one thing that's about health. If I got health, I'll get money. Money, I'll get money. I got health, I can do anything. That's why you want health. But see, we've had all this seducing spirits teaching in the church that has made sickness an okay thing to have. It's all right to be sick. It ain't all right for Ed to be sick. Makes me mad when I don't feel good. Ed's an unhappy camper. I'm unhappy. I tell you what, I don't like it. I'll tell you, if I even think a headache's trying to come on me, I ain't had one in so many years. I've had ones try to come on me. I don't allow them to come around on me. I don't want them. I've had bad headaches in my life when I was a sinner. And they don't have those anymore. Hallelujah. Jesus delivered me from them. But I had learned how to bring them under and subdue them and bring them under control. through your faith. But you have to learn how to do that. But I decided a long time ago, God wants Ed well. He didn't have those headaches there trying to teach Ed how to use his faith. The devil was working, and God was showing me how to keep the devil at bay. That's what he was doing. He wasn't giving me headaches to teach me something. Dear Lord. Well, God, there's a reason for everything. Yeah, they are, and some of them ain't good at all. And they're the devil, but the church accepts them. But I want you to get it in yourself concerning healing that you have to have it, and you should crave for it. There should be in it. You should crave for you to be well. It should be number one on your agenda. And anything you're doing that wants to help you overstay sick, you need to get it out of your life. It's easy today in our society. I mean, you get patted on the back all the time from people. Well, they can't do this, or well, you know, they got a problem. It's like I told you, we have all these handicapped parking spaces for people that we're paying taxpayer dollars to give them physical therapy. Taking them inside in some place and having them walk around when they could have walked from their car into the store. But no, you got to give them a place where they can't walk. I'm so fed up with this rot out here, and Christians love it. They're the first ones that will turn around and get one of those things so they get a front row seat, and they'll think it's God gave it to them, those idiots. I'd rather low crawl across the parking lot from down in the bottom and get well than turn around and do that stuff. But Christians love it. They want to be pampered. Get out of the pamper. You know, take off them diapers you've been wearing. It's time. Quit pampering yourself. I tell you, I go all the time and park down in the bottom of the parking lot, walk up. Why? Because I'm so glad I can walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My words. Wanda and I, the therapist came and he thought we were 10 years younger than we were. Hallelujah. Most people I know, they look 10 years older than they are. I'm serious. I do all the time, park down low, far below the parking lot, walk. I'm so glad I can walk. Dear God. I'm so happy I can do it. And I'll tell you, if my leg felt bad, I'd get on and park down there anyhow. Walk up, praise God, that I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to park up. So I don't want to hurt my leg, so we better park up really close because, you know, I believe I've received my healing, but it ain't going to come. Folks, this is good teaching. This is why people don't get well. They say what they believe, but they act like their actions are totally different. They pamper themselves. Oh, my words. Yes, I sit back here. You take care of me. Bring me my stuff. Because, you know, I'm ill. I just can't do anything, you know, and I just can't. And what they can do, they won't do. Wait for somebody to wait on them. I'm only interested in one thing. That's called well. That's what I'm interested in. And the Lord told me because of it. He said, because your stream's actions, why you have seen so many, he said, instantaneous healings. I've seen loads of instantaneous healings in my body. Instantaneously things take place. I've seen loads of them. And it's because I'm crazy. I'll do strange things that other people won't do. Other people will do things to pamper themselves, and I will not. When I believe I receive something, I'm this idiot that just acts like I got it. I don't wait to see a thing. I just act like I have it. Learn to do that. Learn to act like you got something instead of you're waiting to get something. If you're waiting to get it, you ain't got it anyhow. It ain't coming. Now, I didn't make that up. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Act like you got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Lose that fear of, well, what if I do this? It might cause me a problem. Well, it will. The thoughts themselves running in you will keep you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to die. What are you going to do? Go to heaven? What's so great here that you're hanging on to? Ain't nobody going to heaven's trying to get back here. Probably most of them say, why didn't I leave earlier? I'm not afraid to die. You lose that? Well, what if I believe God and I don't do this or I don't do that? What if we do this? What do we do? You let that stuff run in your mind, it'll keep you sick. That's why you stay sick. That's why nothing changes. You just got to get over it and say, my God, I know what they're saying. The doctors sometimes want to help you, but sometimes you just got to go follow your heart. I'd rather have a miracle from God than try to, you know, get doctor to do something and pat him on the back and say he did the miracle. Most Christians are glad to pat the doctor on the back and say, oh, he just did a miracle job. Folks, it's good preaching anyhow. But see, we need to get a hold of these things. We've been given the power of God. Let's use it. I'll tell you what, let's set it off. Hallelujah. You and I are the ones who set the charge off, not God. The detonator is in your hands. It's not in God's. The power of God will work if you set it off. But you have to set it off. He never does. He never sets it off. It's not his job. You set it off. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Think about your faith today. Is there something maybe in your life, something you want, that you want to see a change? One of the things to do is pick a specific thing you want to move at, or a specific thing. You know, sometimes we have, you know, you could have 10 things in your life you'd like to see change. Probably all of us do. But, you know, it's really learning to operate over these areas, and I've learned over the years. What do you want to move? Is there something specific that you want to move? You want it changed in your life? Now, there's some things you're going to have to do. You can stand in the Word, but one of the things you're going to have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to listen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak through another person. Sometimes they do, telling you things. But you're going to have to learn to stand. Pick that thing. Sit down. Think your thoughts out well about what you're going to say with your mouth and what you're going to speak out of your mouth and say. If you're going to pray, what is your prayer? What are you going to say to God? What are you going to say? What are you going to say you believe you receive? Can you really do that, believe you receive it? You know, sometimes people, they couldn't really believe they received it. You can go through the motions of it, but that doesn't mean it make it going to work. I don't want you to think about this, and which I really had to do this as a young Christian. With the Lord, when he dealt with me the first time, when I said, I believe 1 Peter, he asked me if I believe 1 Peter 2:24, and I said, yeah. He said, well, then why don't you act like it's true? Well, see, I believed what 1 Peter 2:24 said, but my actions weren't in line with it. I wasn't walking in line with it, 1 Peter 2:24. Because part of it said, by his stripes I was healed. I wasn't acting like I was healed. I wasn't acting like I'd received it. I was acting like I hadn't received it. I was willing to stay home from work and not go to work. I was willing to do that. That was in my heart, was willing to do that. I wasn't willing to have something better. I was willing to stay home. That's what I was doing. So see, I wanted to see a miraculous healing, but really, I would have been willing to accept something less. I would have been willing to stay home and then feel better as the day went on. Till the Lord spoke to me, he said, if you stay home today, he said, you're going to be sick all day in this bed. Boy, that changed Ed's idea. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to do that one. My thoughts and ideas. I wasn't really hungry for that healing, acting like I believed I received it. He said, if you believe you received your healing, he said, if you're healed, what do you do in the morning? I said, well, get up and go to work. That was uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I'd rather say I don't feel well and stay home. That was easy to do. You know, I learned that principle, and it's worked all these years since 1980. And here we are in 2016, and I've never had to miss a day of work. And you don't know how many times I put that to work. I wouldn't feel well. I said, no, I believe I received my healing. And you know what? Every time I start acting in the direction of doing what I'm supposed to do, healing always comes. Every time, it always comes. Healing comes every time. What you do is start acting. Just act like it's true. Start acting like you go. It's not some big complicated thing. Acting like what you said is true. And I've told you guys, Keith Moore talked about a guy. Here he is. He's on a deathbed in a hospital. They're getting the coroner ready is what they're doing. And the guy can't talk loud enough that you can hear his voice. And you got to put your ear down to his mouth. And he said to Keith Moore, I'm winning. I've seen Christians that weren't even near death, and you could never get them to say, I'm winning. Oh, pray for me. I might hang on to the end. Oh, my God. Let me. This guy says, I'm winning. You know what? He won. You know what? Well, his voice and what he said was an action of what he believed he got. He wasn't trying to get it. He believed he was winning. Now, nobody would have looked and thought the guy was winning. There was nothing from the outside. It seemed like he was in it. But that guy on the inside had the answer and said, I'm winning. Glory to God. Keith Moore said, and he won too. Glory to God. Came out through that thing. Hallelujah. That's what I want to be. Man, I hear about guys doing stuff like that, and I think, man, he's my champion, that man. That man's my champion. Hallelujah. Because he's the guy down in the bottom of it, and everybody else has, you know, turned it all in. You know, they're praying he has a good home going to Jesus, and he ain't going nowhere. He's staying. Thank God, I'm sure Keith agreed with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wouldn't have thought, no, if a guy said he's winning, I'm sure Keith would. Glory to God. If I know as a minister, he was so glad to hear that. It's like, oh my God, I got a live one here. This is good. Somebody's winning. See, when I look at those people, I don't think Ed's faced hardship. If you think you've faced hardship, you're defeated. I always keep it in my mind, there's people that got it worse than Ed. So I ain't rolling up and quitting. There's always people that have had tougher times than I've ever had. And if they're walking on and keep it going, Ed does not have an excuse to go lay down and sit. I don't have an excuse for it. Hallelujah. And I ain't laying down and sitting. Glory to God. Because there's always people that have worse than Ed. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what, my faith will see me through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord.